Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious issue, the greatest fraud in medical history. The greatest fraud in medical history. I'm looking at an article that says, Wall Street Journal, the analysis says, COVID vaccines, the greatest fraud in history. And a video interview Wednesday by WorldNet Daily, a former Wall Street executive, whose analysis of the CDC data shows an alarming rise in deaths among millennials over the past year amid the COVID vaccine rollout, says he's hoping to start a national conversation that will penetrate an establishment media blackout. Hear me. That will penetrate the established media's blackout by emboldening people across the government and private industry to speak out. Quote, that's my goal, he said, to just change the conversation, to get people, to give people cover, said Edward Dowd, a former portfolio manager for the multinational investment firm BlackRock. Dowd and Wall Street Insurance with whom he has teamed together, concluded that CDC data shows the millennial generation suffered, quote, a Vietnam-era event with more than 61,000 deaths from March 2021 to February 2022. In the realm of millennials, ladies and gentlemen, over 61,000 deaths as a result of the COVID vaccine. There was particularly significant spike in the mortality in the fall of 2021, he said. The only signal that makes sense to me is the vaccine, said Dowd, who describes himself a futurist and a stock picker. You don't have to agree with me, he added, but I'm hoping that this starts a national conversation and let's have Senate hearings. Let's get some experts involved. The millennials aged 25 to 40 experienced a 84% increase in excess mortality over that same period of time, which is about a one-year period of time, according to this writing. And then, ladies and gentlemen, from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, he says, warnings by Pfizer's former head of research were totally ignored. Now, the billing code records reveal he was right to be concerned about the vaccine. Pfizer's former vice president and chief scientist, Dr. Michael Yeardon, warns these shots were very dangerous, but Biden pushed ahead, issuing mandates forcing tens of millions of people to take the shots. Here's some of the results that redounded as a result of that, and that Matt Staver and Liberty Counsel newsletter has outlined. 471% increase in female infertility. 300% increase for miscarriages, 156% increase in birth defects. Yet both Pfizer and FDA knew all of these side effects when the shots were first released, beginning in Section 8.3.1, page 67 of Pfizer's protocol. The FDA, Pfizer noted these: spontaneous abortion, including miscarriage, neonatal death to occur within 1 month of birth. And it goes on with the full list of the data that was found, and the former VP, former vice president, in charge of the research with Pfizer, made that warning months and months and months ago. I read details of that warning on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, but it was ignored. And Biden and the entire Biden cabal, along with the paid media, ladies and gentlemen, when I say paid media, listen, the media bought, sold ads, all of the media, all of the television, including Fox, sold ads to the pharmaceutical companies. Pharmaceutical companies paying multiple mega hundreds of millions of dollars for those ads to be run. If you notice, when you turn your television on, it doesn't make any difference the channel that you're on. They're going to be every 2 to 3 minutes some kind of ad for some kind of a pharmaceutical product. They bought influence with the television industry by buying hundreds of millions of dollars worth of ads. And if you were to say something negative, of course, they'd pull the ads. It's the MONEY trail that kept the media in check and in line with saying everything that the pharmaceuticals wanted to be said in relationship to these deadly COVID vaccines, COVID shots, not a vaccine, but a COVID jab that's been killing and maligning and murdering and maiming people across the world and here in America. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, give me the question or comment, please.
You know, you hit the nail firmly on the head as far as following the money and Pfizer's money, pharmaceutical industry in general, their money within the media. Years ago, decades ago, we remember the investigative reports that you would see on the nightly news. You know, they would have the 2020 investigation, the 60 Minutes investigation, the Stossel report type things, where folks would delve into, investigative journalists would delve into an issue, a problem within government, within business, many times within big business. When was the last time you saw that legitimately pursued within the media? It has gone the way of the dodo. It has virtually completely disappeared, unless, of course, they're chasing down, the Mueller report, Trump-Russia collusion for 3.5 years. Isn't it amazing? If you step back in time just 18 months ago, when the report of Hunter Biden's laptops, plural, came into the news, it was immediately squelched, shut down, by the mainstream media, or the lamestream media, as Michelle Malkin loves to call them. Twitter and Facebook block things like that. And today, you fast forward 18 months, finally, New York Times says, hey, it's real, it's legit. We knew it was real and legit 18 months ago, but it was blocked. It was prevented from hitting the news cycle. Today, they know that a lot of these complaints, these concerns, these maladies associated with the jab, the vaccination that isn't a vaccination, they're legit. They're real. But they will be blocked. And I say that. I say they will be blocked. They are being blocked on a daily basis. Recently, in the past 1 week, I posted a link to the database out of the DOD they call DMED, that as you look at DMED, D-M-E-D, it's Defense Medical Epidemiology Database. It's like VAERS. Yes. However, they're very careful in DMED because they're dealing with our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marine, guardsmen. They want to make sure that what's going on within the DOD is beneficial to those servicemen and women, thus beneficial to the United States of America in our defense. Here's a problem, though. When DMED came out with numbers like miscarriages having a 200% increase, cancer diagnosis over, almost 300% increase, neurological issues 1,000% increase, myocardial infarction 269% increase, boom, boom, boom. And, I placed a link to that, and it literally, within moments, it disappeared. Unavailable. Sorry, that's Facebook for you. That was Twitter for you. Back up in time, same thing again with the laptops. That hit, and the source, the news source, I believe the New York Post, was completely blocked from sharing. Now, you folks think you have a First Amendment right to free speech? Yeah. Let me back into this. First Amendment right to free speech, yeah, it does affect mostly what government can do to you in the public square. Dealing with the highest level of protection is dealing with religious free speech and political free speech. Does this fall into those categories? I think so. And is the public square not today Twitter? Is it not today? Facebook, is it not today? All the different social media? Because literally that's where the mass population goes to talk with their friends and neighbors and their family. Mm-hmm. That is the public square. So should that not be extended? What should be, in my opinion, Section 230 seems to have insulated these institutions to the point that they believe that they have godlike powers to shut your mouth. That's a dangerous thing. That's a These folks feel like they are demigods to the point that the knucklehead running Facebook spent, I believe, $400 million or $500 million in the last election to manipulate the election. And that
just
was
in the
was,
state of Georgia, if I could jump in, just in the state of Georgia, there's $420 million spent or invested by Facebook.
It's off the charts. Now, these are expenses that literally, if you tried to go and blow $400 million to affect campaigns, particularly for Democrats, it'd be challenging. You'd have to put it through some political action committee and filter it that way. And if it were examined by, you know, the elections commission, they might determine it to be illegal. I mean, we saw how Dinesh D'Souza was put in jail. Listen to me, put in jail, folks, because he funneled in like an extra $20,000 to a campaign. I suppose if you have the right attorneys, the right legal staff, you can pump $1 billion into a campaign. Just funnel it the right way. He made
That's
sure
evident.
That the money.
Greg, hold your thought there. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Let's see what's going on. We know this for so many years. The lame, sorry, lying media. They always manipulate the news, and is their agenda, which is anti-America all along. But now it's been exposed by the New York Times. And it's sad to see, because I've been to Cuba multiple times, and it's sad to see how they control, they manipulate what the government wants to do in those communist countries. Even in Russia now with Putin, he does the same thing. Here in America, you see the liberals doing the same thing at a lesser level, but it's the same mindset. They're trying to silence, they're trying to control, and they're trying to push their wicked agenda. So my question is, now what they... Nobody in the media is going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you know, we lied, we knew the truth, we knew that laptop was real, so now we messed up. I haven't heard anybody except the New York Times. I want to see all those talking heads. They were mapping the floor and making fun and denying. I'm pretty sure they knew. They were lying to the public. If they're going to continue working in those outlets, I believe they shouldn't, but I guess nowadays, one of the requirements is to lie with a straight face to the public and keep moving on like nothing happened. Because when you speak truth, you're not welcome. They attack you. They cancel you. And it's unfortunate to see the day that we are living. I don't know about you guys, but what can we do as conservatives that we have the truth on our side? Waiting for the politicians, they don't do anything. I mean, our political party, unless it's Donald Trump is coming back, he's going to hit the drone really hard. But as it is right now with this bombshell for the New York Times, they should be having press conferences and let the country know how non-trusted the media is. I don't know what you take on that, brother, but that's the way I feel. The people need to know what's going on with the media, because there's a lot of people that they are blindfolded. They think the media is gospel. I don't believe for a minute nothing of what the media says. I don't know what you take on that, brother. How do you feel about it?
Absolutely. Greg, I'll throw that ball to you. What are your thoughts? How do you respond to Jose and what he asked?
I would say to Jose and all those listening, we're living in what appears to be a post-constitutional society.
Yes.
Now keep in mind, every member of Congress, you know, 435 members, I guess, in the House and then 100 in the Senate and the President and all of our judges and justices, they all swear to the same document. They swear to support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That First Amendment hasn't changed. Now, it is amazing how the left applies that First Amendment to all manner of indecency and profanity. However, when it comes to getting out the truth, protecting constitutional speech, conservative speech, It doesn't matter. They decide what speech is allowed to get out, and the Constitution is tossed out the window. We have a potential Supreme Court justice being interviewed before the Senate Judiciary Committee right now. This woman is a rabid leftist. This woman has chosen to act politically from the bench. This woman has chosen a set of ideologies rather than the Constitution. We've watched how the left has repeatedly, instead of choosing the Constitution, they've chosen international law, international opinion. Now, back on the main point that you continued to cover, dealing with the so-called vaccinations and the injuries associated therewith, you alluded to the unconstitutionality of, you know, the lack of consent. Well, I'd say a step beyond within the Nuremberg Code, voluntary consent, out of 10 items that came out of the Nuremberg Code, Nuremberg trials, and of course there's actually several court decisions and a Nuremberg Code evolved, the voluntary consent of a human subject is absolutely essential. The informed consent. Now, I don't go to the doctor very often, folks. I happen to be in a doctor's office on a checkup. By the way, I'm going to side note this. I went to see this doctor. I chose this doctor for one reason. He had available monoclonal antibodies. So I figured, hey, I've not gotten this Wu flu thing, but if I get it, I think that's probably the apex, the top of the line, the best treatment. So I choose to go to this guy. By the way, it's the only time I wore a mask either. I put on a mask for about 20 steps in order to make it into the private office. When I got in the private office, I said, hey, doc, do I need to wear that junk? He goes, not unless you're sick, you don't. But as soon as I made it into his office, just inside his door, he had a book on vaccination, a folder with vaccinations and the different the timelines and the all the warnings associated therewith. And I'm flipping through to see if they have that for the Wu flu vaccine, for the COVID vaccine. Guess what? It wasn't there. Matter of fact, if you've got one, share it to me, send it to me, text it to me, email it to me, Facebook it to me. I want to see the warning list with all the, because it's probably out there now. But was it out there 18 months ago, 16 months ago, 14 months ago, 12 months ago, 10 months ago, when tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people around the world, billions of people have gotten these jabs? When they got the jab, when you got the jab, did they tell you, hey, you're at risk for this, 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 based upon this jab? I would bet you that they didn't tell you that.
That's right. Greg, hold your thought for just a moment. Jose, thank you so much for your call. I pray that was an answer. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Hello, Youngblood Clan. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well. I pray that you are.
Doing great. I agree with Greg on the public forum and the First Amendment there. You can stand on a street corner and you can, you can evangelize on the street corner and nobody can, you know, you might irritate somebody, but nobody's going to come to you and say, don't do that. What these social media companies are getting away with is they're using the premise that it's our servers, our electricity, our corporation that is providing this service. So therefore, we can limit it based on our company policies there. They do have protections. I care. It's 230, I think, is what it is. Some of those protections need to be rewrote for social media because they were originally wrote, you know, long before any of these modern day issues that we have, especially with censorship. So Greg is completely on over the target with that one. And until these social media companies are held responsible and accountable to the constitutional rights of others. And I don't get how they can get away with that because they might own the servers there, but they have to disseminate that information through different parts of the internet, which requires other companies to assist them. So why it's not a public forum and why they call it a private, their own private, is it's kind of fuzzing up some gray lines there.
Absolutely. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Greg, how do you respond? What's your take on that?
Well, in Section 230, I believe, had good intent. The idea was to make sure that since we created the World Wide Web within the United States, we
wanted
to...
You mean Al Gore didn't create that thing?
No, I don't think so. Well, it's amazing. The idea was, I believe, to make sure that the United States and U.S.-based companies dominated that venue into perpetuity. Now, I think we're kind of there, you know. I think we've been there for some time. But it allowed these companies to have a measure of protection far beyond that which could be entrusted to the likes of Zuckerberg and Dorsey and right on down the list we can go. Because the power, you know, the old notion that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We're there. And these folks feel so emboldened that they can actually dictate your political speech, your religious speech. I ran up on a post even today on Facebook that showed a series of rail cars full of coal, and it said that was your fuel for your electric car. That got a warning. It got a missing context a warning on Facebook. Did you know that? I mean, think about it. So is there anything that you can discuss if I say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Will that be fact-checked? Will that be fact-checked by some leftist within Facebook or Twitter or one of these other social media outlets out of leftist?
If not now, that certainly will be in the future. Jim, thank you so much for your call. We always appreciate hearing from you. Look up, lift up your head, because our redemption's drawing nearer each day.
Amen.
Greg, let me ask you a question. In light of what we're talking about, I'm looking at an article that says, Louisville Health Department leader who oversaw COVID-19 vaccine distribution has died. Dr. Sarah LaBeth Hartledge, who helped lead Louisville's COVID-19 fight, is in her role as associate medical director in the health department, has died. She was 30, I believe I'm looking at the article, and she was 36 years old. And the article does not say, but it's my opinion, that she more than likely took the COVID vaccine and or then the booster COVID shots and died at 38 years old, having no known or visible health problems. But I'm looking at a 3-page article, the total article. There's not a squeak, not a breath of any potential because of the COVID vaccine that she had taken. And then I find that an article that is a 10-page article dated March 22nd says the homicidal killing fields of America's medical system. And it goes through page after page after page of linking what we're seeing with what took place in the socialist Marxist era under the Hitler regime and others as what they had done to the people. And the people were submissive, and as a result of that were literally annihilated. Do you see any linkage with what we see today taking place with the forced submission of the citizens in America? And now they're talking about a need to have gasoline lockdown where you can't drive on Sundays, you can't travel unless the government says so. Do you see any linkage with that? Here's my thinking, Greg, before you answer the question. I see it as we've already been, if you please, programmed. We've already been put in a position that we've accepted that. And now as a result of that, the Biden administration, along with the global initiatives, are talking about putting in some type of lockdown restrictions on travel. The headline says, top global agency calls for lockdowns to curb oil usage. What are your thoughts on that? Where do you think we're going? Where is the end of this, or will there be an end? What do you think is the thing that Christians need to look at, listen to, understand, and recognize?
The short and sweet is normal is not coming back.
But that's right.
Jesus is. But Jesus is coming back. Now, You know, the data that's withheld is a huge component. The control factor is a huge component. I'll tell you right now, where it ends is, you know, for 7 years, an antichrist rule, a one-world governance, that's where it ends, you know, from a secular standpoint. But I know where it really, really, really ends, and it ends in that thousand-year millennial reign. It ends in Jesus not only coming back, feet touching earth, 1,000 years on earth, a day of rest, a true day of rest, and then eternity, either with the Lord or without. Now, where we are right now, they will continue to suppress data. We've had government control, government domination of schools for about 118 years, 120 years, 125 years, complete domination of schools. If you want to get outside a government-controlled school, you get to pay twice. You know, you get to pay for your neighbor's kids and through taxes, and you get to pay for your own kids out of your own pocket post-tax. I mean, isn't it amazing how that works? But that the schools, the quit calling them government or public schools, they're government controlled schools, and government controlled schools will teach the kids that government is the answer. Understand? The government is the answer. These kids have been so dumbed down, and I don't mean any offense to you folks that have your A honor roll student and all. You know, my wife, when she graduated one of those government schools, she had the 4.65 GPA, and I was just shocked. I'm going, how do you get past four? I mean, that's amazing. But the reality is they keep them dumbed down so they can teach them government is the answer. And government gave us the answer, you know, gave us the vaccine. So you can't argue with that. But for believers out there, I'm going to give an encouraging word, and then I'll let you close the program. My encouraging word came this past week, and I was going through the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 9, you see Saul, eventually Paul, going after the Christians, after the believers, and out to apprehend them, to persecute them. And in verse 4 or 5 of chapter 9, Saul has a confrontation or a conversation with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Now, I'm going to stop with the quotation of Scripture. I'm going to tell you that when Christians are persecuted, Jesus takes it very personally. For you on the left out there that think you will ridicule, harass, and persecute believers, I want you to know that my Savior, my Redeemer, takes that very personally. And that should be encouraging to every believer today, that these things do not go without the Lord's notice.
Absolutely. That's the reason Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 4:20, "Our God shall fight for you." And that's the stand that we take today, ladies and gentlemen. Greg, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
On 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.